Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended to heaven
and sits on the right hand of the Father Almighty,
from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Man, I'm so excited to finish this series off. I know this series has really blessed me as I've just been able to spend a lot more time looking at the Apostles' Creed and really just getting to unpack it a little bit, but also study it. I'm always a week ahead of y'all. Remember that? You know, the idea behind sermons for me is that in this next week, you're wrestling through the stuff I preach right now, okay? That's kind of the idea. But I am working on that a week before. See, it's been wrestling on me, and so I've already kind of been itching through the text and trying to kind of, what is God saying here? And so it's always a little huff because I always feel like I'm a little off from y'all, but that's kind of the idea. I'm a week ahead. You're kind of just a week behind in that sense. This series on one God, Father, Son, Spirit, the Apostles' Creed, it's been used for close to 1800 years. Deeply connected to the early church, a kind of baptismal creed. Okay, it was used very much in connection to essentially like saying, "This is my allegiance is to this God, and my allegiance is no longer to the old way of life, but it's now." It's directly connected to this Jesus guy, and it's directly connected to God as he reveals himself to be Father, Son, Spirit. And it really is a kind of allegiance. This past week, I went to one of us actually in this room, just became a United States citizen, our dear sister Amita, and it's just an incredible celebration. It's why we had the cake in the back this morning to celebrate her basically becoming a United States citizen. But it was interesting because as I was sitting next to her, as she stood up, okay, along with 2,526 other people representing 130 different countries, okay, stands up and she pledges allegiance to the United States. And that's what she had to do. But it was interesting because in the oath, part of the oath is actually saying, I'm not going to pledge allegiance anymore over here. Isn't that interesting? I'm not going to be connected with this in the same way that I had been. I'm now connected over here in a deep, intimate way. And now I'm part of the United States of America. And as soon as I'm done here, I'm heading to Academy and picking up a 9. I'm kidding. America. No, so... She's now part of America. She's part of the United States. And as Christians, the Apostles' Creed is deeply connected to, I used to do this, and now I'm serving this God. That's all I'm saying, okay? It's rejection of this old way of life, and now I'm going to go and do whatever this God would have me do, and I'm going to live according to his will for my life. Okay? We've been talking about the Father, the Son as Judge, the Holy Spirit. Last week was a standalone, and today we're going to be kind of looking in at that. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We might be here till about 3:00. All right, let me read to you from Matthew chapter 16. From Matthew chapter 16, because remember, the Apostles' Creed does not stand on its own. It's always, the Apostles' Creed is always an exposition of the Word of God. That's very important to remember, okay? It's not like this is this has been inspired by the Holy Spirit in the same way that we would say of the Word of God, for example. This is an exposition of that Word, and it's kind of a simplified for the regular people. See, the Apostles' Creed, remember this, is not for like the elites. Oh, that's once we get up there and then we get fancy, then I'll know the Apostles' Creed. No, it's actually for just, it's the most basic stuff. This is the simple stuff. This is just like, this is who our God is kind of boiled down. Okay. The Apostles' Creed was written for Seth Kunze, that I can tell you. Matthew chapter 16, chapter 16, verse 13. This is kind of where we're going to be focusing. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now, that's very complimentary. That's pretty high stuff. But they're still wrong. That's a high compliment, but still wrong. Jesus says to them, "Okay, but who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter, who usually has his kind of foot in his mouth, right? Simon Peter replies and actually comes up pretty good here. He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Nice job, Peter. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon, Bar-Jonah, Bar-John of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And then here, the verse 18, this is where I'm zeroing in, okay? "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one he was the Christ. I will build my church. Now, I'm not going to zero in on the whole Peter thing. I know some of you want to go into that. Well, who's he talking about there? Peter. On Peter, I will build my rock. Is that the papacy? No, that's not the papacy. That's not the Pope. That's not Pope stuff going on. I actually would probably disagree with actually quite a few people in kind of my camp that would try to say that Peter here, what he's saying is the rock is the confession that Peter makes. I don't know if I see that. I think that's pushing it too far. I actually think it's just Peter is Peter. He's making a big deal of Peter here. But it's interesting because as you go through the text, as you go through the scriptures, Peter actually begins to kind of become less significant as other people become more significant. So I think he's actually talking about Peter, on you I'm going to build my church. But that always is the thrust, right? And I don't think that's the thrust. I think the thrust is, I'm going to build my church. And that's the part I want to talk about. Let's pray, and then we're going to dive in. Holy Spirit, show up right now, please. We beg of you, God, because otherwise this is going to be nice little words with Seth just being kind of passionate and, oh, you're so excited and that's so great. That's so secondary and thirdary and fourthary to the ultimate stuff, God. We want you to actually speak to us. We want you to change our hearts. We want to hear your voice this morning. So I pray that I simply, Lord, would disappear. I'd slowly just kind of fade away. Even with trying to bring the gifts you've given to me to be excited and stuff, I still pray that I would fade away, that your word would be proclaimed clearly, and that I would only say what you have me to say. Not a word more, not a word less. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. If you were to ask somebody to build something, Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. If you're going to ask somebody to build something, right? The product that you get out of that is going to depend on who you ask to build it, right? I was thinking a little bit about my buddy Dave this morning, and actually I didn't have this in until this morning. My buddy Dave is in Knoxville, Tennessee. He runs a welding business. Dave is just, me and him made a connection early on because he's from Wisconsin and I'm from Wisconsin, and we just clicked. He's just a regular kind of guy. I like Dave a lot. and we've always gotten along. Well, Dave is one of these guys who, when you ask Dave to build something, I've asked him actually to build some stuff before, and it's just always like boom, boom, boom. It's just it's Dave material, okay? Whenever I ask Dave to build something, Dave's just been rocking it. And Dave, when he gets his hands on something, he just does, he does good stuff. And he kind of puts the Dave on it. You know what I mean? One of the things he likes to do is works with trucks. He's a big Ford guy. They love jacked up pickup trucks. They love racing stuff. And recently, this was a couple years ago now, Dave actually built a truck that they turned into a drift truck. And I have a picture of it here. Actually, Dave sent it to me this morning. I texted him. Go ahead. Here's Dave and his truck. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's the kind of smoking that should be legal. Yes. 1,000 horsepower this baby pushes out, okay? 1,000 horsepower. Most cars, drag cars are cars. Dave's like, no, I'm going to turn a pickup truck into a drag. This is it. There's a picture of it. This is him in his, it's just kind of this old, I think it's like a 51 Ford or something. He's got 1,000 horsepower running through this thing. Dave is one of these guys, okay, where if you wanted to like move your house from here to here, he could do it. You know what I mean? Like you could, Dave could move your house. If you just give him enough power, enough tools, enough whatever, enough, like he can make stuff happen. And so when you ask Dave to do something, it's going to be Daved. It's going to be Dave. Jesus in our text says, I will build my church. And the question is, what does that mean? If Jesus is the one who's going to get his hands into the church and do this build, what's going to come out of it? Well, there's so many characteristics of this. We could be here all day. I've kind of chosen three. Here's the three. The first is that Jesus is going to be, this church is going to be one. Second, this church, sorry, I don't have it up in kind of three, but that's perfect. Leave that right there. The church is going to be one. The second is that this church is going to be beautiful in its diversity. And the third is that the end product, the final product, is going to be the bomb diggity. That's Seth's little thing. So stick with us. Stick around. The first, there's going to be one church. There's going to be one church when Jesus gets his hands on this and he starts working it. There's characteristics that will come out of this. Just like Dave. Dave's not going to build like a little Prius. Okay. Dave's not building a Prius with a little four-stroke cylinder. That's not going to be Dave. It's got to have some serious horsepower. It's got to be able to do donuts and wheelies, and that's Dave. What are the characteristics out of Jesus? One of the characteristics is it's going to be one church. Notice in the Greek it's singular. In the English it's singular. Hey, I will build my singular uno church. One. There will be one. That's interesting, isn't it? I believe in the Holy Christian Church. Actually, the little video that we've been playing says Catholic, doesn't it? That's all that means, some of you that have been freaking out, is Catholic is a word that means universal. And so if you say, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, you're going to say it different than somebody who's connected to the Catholic Church. They're going to mean maybe the way you're thinking about it a little different. But we can say very, very, actually, I think I grew up maybe saying that early on in my life. The Holy Catholic Church, the Holy Universal Church, the oneness of the church. See, we make it into all these plurals. See, we're the ones who make it into Methodists. And Lutherans, and non-denominationalists, and Catholics, and Baptists. We're the ones who begin to turn that stuff in. And listen, let me just quick speak to that. Some of that is completely appropriate. Because in this fallen world, there will be those who say some things doctrinally that I'm like, I disagree. And I'll say something doctrinally that somebody will say, no, I disagree. As I look at the Word of God, I disagree. You're going to go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. I'm going to go to heaven because we'll be with each other for all of eternity. But you're wrong in that particular thing. And I would actually go so far as to say, it's so important that I need to step back from you a little bit. That's the struggle of living in a sinful world, though. That's not Jesus' doing. He wants to build one church. He is building one church. And so, within Catholicism, you will have those who are connected to that one church. And then you'll have those who are actually hypocrites. Trey talked on this a couple weeks ago. Remember the distinction, the distinction between the sheep and the goats? You can't even see the distinction, but Jesus knows the distinction. See, within the Methodist Church, the one holy Christian Catholic Church is. It's in it. There are those people in it. And then there are those who are hypocrites and who are Pharisees and are playing the game. Right? I mean, this isn't like, whoa. This is just kind of one holy, one church, capital C. The dwelling is not capital C church. The dwelling is lower C community in this area, kind of church. You could be connected to the dwelling and do all sorts of stuff for us, but not be connected to Jesus Christ. Not be in relationship to him. When you die and you go to heaven, okay, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, one of the questions he's not going to ask is, hey, did you go to the dwelling? You see, that's not the question. Yeah, what are you talking about? I was there every Sunday. I've always been connected to it. No. Jesus says, I will build my church, and that build will be connected to me. Look at like 1 Corinthians here. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians. For just as one body, there's going to be uno body made up of many members. Many members will be part of it, but there's only one church. There's one body. And it's going to be connected to me. He's Colossians says that he's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. Well, that body isn't, there's not multiple bodies. There's one body. Follow me here. One holy Christian church. Listen to this from Dietrich Bonhoeffer in his book, Life Together. On page 26, he says this. Christian brotherhood. What? Oh, man. Follow this. Christian brotherhood. This is his book, Life Together. Okay, very, 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 very important book. It's just awesome. Awesome book. But he says this. Christian brotherhood is not an ideal. It is not an ideal. But a divine reality that you get brought into through the blood of Jesus. It is not a divine, or it is not an ideal. What does that mean? He's saying all of the little things you think would be nice about being a Christian, it's not, it's more than that. That's all he's kind of saying here. It's not like this, we're trying to become better. We're trying to become better. He's saying, no. In Christ, you are connected to the body because of Jesus bundling us up together and building for himself a church. Making for himself a bride, Ephesians 6. He purifies this bride. He washes this bride. And he presents her to himself as a radiant church. That's more if you kind of know your Bible. I just kind of spit that out for you. For those of us that maybe don't, just give me the simple, that's all it is this. There's one church. There's one Christian church. And that one Christian church is who it is who she is because of its relationship to Jesus. So you are not part of the church if you are not connected to Jesus. And that goes for whole groups of people, and it goes for individuals. The dwelling is not the church, part of the church, if it doesn't have Jesus as our head. If this is your church, or this is Seth's church, or if it's whatever, maybe it's even our church, it's not Jesus' church. It's his church. Do you understand that? Do you see that? The implications of that? Okay. This helps us because it helps us remember that we can do things together. Do you see that? There's some things I won't, we can't do together. I'm not going to have certain people that differ on different theological stuff come up here and preach. That wouldn't be okay. Because I'd be like, no, that dude, that's wrong. Okay? But there's things we can do together as the church. You don't think you can pick up a hammer and start hammering next to that denomination and that denomination and that denomination? Yeah, we can serve together. We can walk alongside. We can feed the poor together. Are you kidding me? These are things we can be doing that are really easy to be doing together. We can be doing lots of stuff. We can be disagreeing together. We should be disagreeing together. We should be actually walking with each other, even in the midst of disagreements. This is why I love connecting with other church planters and other church pastors in the area. I try to kind of rub shoulders with these guys all the time because I'm like, I don't agree with you on this particular thing, but you believe in Jesus as your Savior, and once you come around, No, I'm just kidding. But we can work together through that. Why do I have to, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. What? That's weird. That's not okay. So we walk together even in the midst of challenges. The first characteristic that comes about with Jesus building his church is that this church will be one. This church will be one. The second characteristic that I want us to see is that this church will be beautiful. This church will be beautiful. It'll just be gorgeous. Isn't that funny? Like on a wedding, I love that. You know that Ephesians where Paul makes the connection between a bride and the church. And why is that? Well, there's something about a wedding day, isn't there? Where no matter what the bride looks like on her wedding day, she just looks beautiful. Like we all stand up and we're all like, "Holy smokes!" You know, she looks beautiful. As she comes walking down that aisle, as she's got her white dress on and the train and the little thing, veil thing, and that's over, and the little, every sparkles, and she's just walking down. What is she? She's a picture of the church that's been washed by Jesus himself. As she walks in, it's just beautiful. This church that Jesus is going to build, is going to be gorgeous. And there's so much we can talk about, but one aspect is that it's going to be gorgeous through its diversity. It's going to be incredibly diverse. It's going to be incredibly... I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the kind of connection we have with each other, because of Jesus as our head. We begin to commune with people, and it's all of a sudden, it's not made up of certain races. It's made up of all ethnic groups. It's made up of people from different socioeconomic kind of backgrounds, and so you have people with money in the church, and you have people with very little money in the church. You have really old people in the church. We have people in our nursing homes who are 90, 100 years old who are part of the church. We have little babies who are part of the church. and kids that dance and run around, and you who have jobs or don't have jobs, and we have the church is this beautiful coming together of like anybody and everybody. Different languages, different backgrounds. It becomes this just gorgeous picture. See, we're the ones who segregate. We're the ones who are like white church, there's black church, there's Spanish church, there's, and some of that's okay. Some of it isn't even the worst thing in the world in the sense of, well, if you speak Spanish, you're probably not going to keep up with Seth and his slang. I get it. There's certain challenges that are brought because of the fallen world that we're in. Certain cultures that like certain things. You know, Jackie's dad and their church support an orphanage down in Haiti. Do you know that once a month they worship an entire Friday night? And when I say worship, I am not talking, Jesus, we love you, you're so great. You know, no. I'm talking 100 miles an hour, screaming and yelling all night. They were actually surprised. They get to like 2 in the morning and they're like, does it tone down? No. All night. All night. Jackie's brother is down there now. He lives there. He lives in Haiti. And he'll go there and worship there. And culturally, we're just like, oh, I can't do it. I got to go to bed, you know? I just got to go to sleep. So there's certain things like that that, okay, fine, no big deal. But that's actually part of the beauty of it. That's part of the beauty of it. And even within our own church, we need to be asking the question, are there expressions of that that begin to show us a picture of this beauty? I'd actually be very concerned, sometimes get concerned, that our churches get so white. That's, you know, because I'm a white guy. And so it can start to be a little concerning. It's like, come on. Why aren't we reaching out to our Spanish brother and sister? Come on. Why can't we be connecting with different people? And it's fine if Jesus just isn't kind of working some of those things right now, and God's working through me to connect with my next door white neighbor. Okay, if God's doing that, fine. But the question you need to ask yourself is, am I actually being resistant to God's Spirit leading in connection with somebody who doesn't look like me, doesn't make the same amount of money as me, is a different age as me, and is God leading me into a relationship there that I continue to resist? And if that's the case, you are resisting the Holy Spirit. Okay. He's bringing together men, women, age, it's just such a beautiful thing. And it's not a building, folks. It's not a building. Okay, this is a little sidebar here. You know, church buildings used to be, and still are in some ways, so I don't know about you, I grew up in a church that was very beautiful. And churches, this is actually kind of interesting. This is just more of like me thinking out loud. But churches used to be so beautiful. And now, sometimes it's easier to just kind of like, hey, let's rent that place, the Yellow Rose right here. We're in it. This place, I wouldn't use the word as like beautiful, right? This isn't like the most beautiful church building in the world. No, it's just not. And there's something about beautiful, even churches. But I would ask the question, like, have you ever stood in just a beautiful church? Have you ever been to a really beautiful church? The most beautiful church I've ever been to. And I'd highly encourage you to go check it out if you ever get a chance. And I know some of you have probably been to St. Peter's, and some of you have been to some incredible places across the sea. I've never been to any of that, okay? The most beautiful physical building I've ever been in personally is the Basilica, the St. Louis Basilica in St. Louis. And I got a picture of it. This is the church building, okay, right there in St. Louis. And you can go, and if you're ever in St. Louis, I'd encourage you to check it out. This building is the most beautiful building I've personally ever been in. Some of you have been in more beautiful buildings, great. This is for me the most beautiful one. Inside, And it's actually a pretty new building. Inside this building are these mosaics that pretty much have like the entire Bible on it. Okay, that's the best way to say it. It's like the whole Bible's up on the ceiling. Okay. And now we're going to open up to Matthew. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, it's just this incredible. And then the next picture is just more of the mosaics. This mosaic is the largest mosaic in the world outside of Russia. 41.5 million pieces of glass. That is not a painting. Those are not paintings. That's a mosaic. 41.5 million pieces of glass with 7,000 different colors, making up 83,000 square feet of that ceiling is covered in these little glass pieces. I mean, it's absolutely, it's just breathtakingly gorgeous. You walk in and you're just like, you know, jaw drop, and you're just, wow. But that's great, and that's fine, and there's nothing wrong. Okay, that's great. What am I trying to say here? I'm just trying to say the reason for some of these most beautiful things is that they're a representation, or should be, of the real thing, which is the people of Christ, the church. Not a building, a people, a diverse people, made up of 7,000 little colors, stretching 83,000 square feet. You see what I'm trying to do there, okay? With 41.5 million individual little pieces of glass, making up this just breathtaking, beautiful thing. The church of God is beautiful. It's just gorgeous. It's not a building. She is a people bound together into a divine reality. And the connection point is Jesus Christ. I wouldn't know any of you unless it was for Jesus. Just really think about that. That's a true statement. I wouldn't know you because I'm telling you, I wouldn't be here. And I like Texas, but I'd be in different parts of Texas, I feel. Houston floods too much. But it's because of Jesus that we're connected. It's because of Jesus that we're connected to the church right now in Ethiopia. It's because of Jesus that we're connected to the church in Russia. It's because of Jesus that we're connected to the church in China and Japan. And it's because of Jesus who brings us together. And that coming, it's because of Jesus that there's a communion of saints even outside of time. Think about that one. We're connected to Abraham. We're connected to Adam. We're connected to Sarah. We're connected to Esther. We're connected to David. There's a communion of saints that goes so much deeper than our regular brains. We think, where's the church? Yeah, down at 21130 Legion Road, you know, and that's kind of a crappy building too. You know what I mean? That's kind of what we think. Oh, no. It's so much bigger than that. It's 41.5 million little pieces of glass. Wow. Just beautiful. So it's going to be one. It's going to be beautiful. And the end result of this is going to be the bomb diggity. That's kind of my Seth's little phrase. I got to finish this sermon off here, but it's going to be the bomb diggity. I mean, when Dave Leffel gets his hands on some equipment and his hands start to work with some motors, he can do things that I'll never be able to do. He can build stuff that blows up, and I mean, that's just his world. And when Jesus Christ begins to build his church, the end result of that is just going to be like, are you kidding me? See, the end, When judgment day comes, when Jesus returns, follow me on this, just trying to follow my thought here. When that day comes, the end, kind of the end day, the last day, the end for the church is the beginning of community that will be 100% perfect. It will be perfect. What do I mean by that? I mean, within this church, the church is. The church is here. Now, there are those that we won't even know. I mean, I think Judgment Day is going to surprise us. It's going to surprise us. I'm not trying to freak anybody out, unless it's supposed to freak you out. But the last day, the end day, is going to be this day where the church, the sheep, get separated from the goats, and the church kind of bubbles up, and it's like, oh, there it is. But right now, the church is still here, and as we look in to this church, we still see brokenness, don't we? We still see pain. And I'm not talking about just from those who really aren't the church. They're the ones who keep screwing up. No, within the church herself. There's still sin. There's still things that need rooted out of us. There's pain, brokenness, death, sickness. Christians are getting cancer as fast as non-Christians are getting cancer. And so we see a kind of brokenness, and we're like, man, you look out, and it's like, it just doesn't seem like 1,000 horsepower. Seems like we're running on a couple cylinders and, kind of bopping along. And there's something about that that's very true because of the sin in our lives, right? But in that last day, when this beautiful one church, the kind of perfect community that's there, the Bible kind of begins to show us pictures of this. The lion will lay down with the lamb. The young infant will play next to the serpent's hole. There's a kind of communion that begins to happen, not only with God, but with the rest of creation. There's a kind of transparency that will begin to just... Do you know how now when you ask a question to somebody, you're a little guarded or you have a little teeny agenda, and their response, you don't know if they're responding 100% truth or it seems like there's a little bit of an agenda there. Everybody's a little guarded. See, in perfect community, it's just all clear. It's transparent. There's no agendas. There's just love and care. And when somebody asks a question, thank you for showing care to me. And it's just care and love and peace. And it's transparent. And it's just, could you imagine having all the anxiety that's on you that for whatever reason could just gone? Could you imagine what that's going to look like and feel like? That is what Jesus is doing. That is what he is promising. An end result that is the bomb diggity. It will be just this incredibly transparent, perfectly perfect body of people, of individual people that make it up. Titus 2, verse 14, check this out. He gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. What is heaven going to look like? Heaven is going to be a life of good works. It's just going to be good. It's going to be working together, building, growing, blessing. Good work and good work after good work after good work. That's just for all of eternity. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, which I hope you heard in the message through the blood of Jesus, the resurrection of the body. I'm not getting into that too much today. And the life everlasting. This church will live forever. Forever. The life everlasting. Forever with our King, forever with each other, forever with other creatures, the new creation in connection, in communion with all, everything. And it's just perfect. And the only way that can happen is if Jesus is the one doing the building. That's the only way it's going to happen. I want to leave you with one more Bible verse from 1 Corinthians. Check this out. For we see, this like Paul preached this sermon, then he's like, how do I want to end this sermon? It's kind of like this. Look at this. For now we see in a mirror dimly. See, like, I'd say it like this. Where can you get a picture of heaven today? Right here. You want to know what heaven looks like? Look around. Look around. Now, it's imperfect right now. It's imperfect. And it's... there's sin and there's brokenness and there's pain and there's death. But you want to see what heaven looks like? When you see somebody love an enemy? Oh, baby. Go listen to the Beatitudes when Jesus preaches his sermon there. Matthew chapter 5. You want to see a picture of heaven? Go read Matthew chapter 5. And as we see these things already beginning to play out, we already begin to see dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Whew. Whew. What does heaven look like? Take a look around. Jesus is building his church, and the gates of Hades itself cannot overcome it. Don't be freaked out when the church starts to enter into persecution. Don't be freaked out when you start to be persecuted. Don't be freaked out when stuff starts to change in our government and all of a sudden we lose all, you know, our influence. Don't be freaked out. There's nothing to freak out about. The builder is Jesus. So don't freak out when, oh man, it doesn't seem like there's enough churches. Jesus will continue to build his church. And entire governments, entire nations have tried to stop it all the way back to Rome. It can't be stopped. It's not going to stop. He's going to keep working in people's lives and changing hearts and doing his thing and bringing people to the foot of the cross for repentance and reminding them they can be forgiven and they can enter into a reality. Not just little nice little small groups, a reality of brotherhood and sisterhood that goes so far deeper than we can even kind of wrap our heads around. I got to stop. I'm looking at my time. Let me pray. Golly, how awesome. How awesome is that? I've just been excited to share that with you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I give you thanks and praise for this incredible thing. To be part of the church, to be part of your body is so incredible. And I just give you thanks and praise for that. Thank you that it is one, we're sorry for where we've made it into lots and where we just continue to screw that up, Lord. We're sorry. I thank you that it's beautiful. Thank you that we get to be part of something as gorgeous as thousands of hundreds and thousands of people, groups coming together, different backgrounds, different makeups, different men, women, children, old people, all of it coming together. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, so much that the end result of all of this, even though it's imperfect now, it feels like, man, this is all we got. No. You're putting it all together. And there will come a day where we stand before you as one body, made up of many members, one body standing before you as your bride, as your church. And that will just be, there's not even a fancy little word, so you got to put a word like bomb diggity on it, Lord. I mean, it's going to be beyond what we can even imagine. Thank you for that. Thank you that's where we're headed. Help us to think seriously about what that looks like as we share that with others. And help us to begin to even live that way now. Help us to see even more glimpses of heaven now, Lord. forgive us for where we don't live as your people, but we live as oftentimes people of this world. Forgive us for that, Lord. Thank you that you do forgive us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me leave you with a blessing. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you this next week. May he just make his face shine upon you as an individual and y'all as a church. Go out in his peace and with his strength in all that you do. Amen. Have a great week, y'all.